We read in Luke chapter 17 and verse 32, remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. Today, the Mother's Day, and we certainly pray for our mothers in our midst and wish them a blessed Mother's Day. Usually I try to bring a message appropriate for Mother's Day, and as we have been reading in our daily manna notes in the book of Luke, I thought that today we'd speak on Lot's wife. You may be wondering about a Mother's Day message on Lot's wife. We trust by the time we got done, we'll have something to learn in this particular situation. Of course, within the context of Luke chapter 17, the words remember Lot's wife are meant as a warning to all professing Christians, a word of warning. But let's go back to Genesis, because there we read, of course, that incident that we are to remember about Lot's wife. Let's begin in Genesis chapter 18. Beginning in Genesis chapter 18, when Abraham gets some visitors, because we see that the Lord appeared unto Abraham in the plains of Mamre. The Lord appeared to him in the form of three men. Some have suggested three angels, but we know that one of these is the pre-incarnate Christ. So the Lord Jesus Christ is right there. As these three men visit Abraham, they promise that Sarah would have a son, but also the Lord reveals to Abraham that he will be destroying the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. Abraham then intercedes on behalf of the cities. Lord, will thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And he said, Lord, maybe there are 50 righteous people. Will you destroy all these cities if there are 50 righteous people? And the Lord said, no, I won't. And then Abraham gradually wore down 50 to 40 to 30. And finally comes, Lord, peradventure 10 shall be found there. And the Lord said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. And so we know that there were not even 10 righteous people there in Sodom. And so, two angels, as we come to chapter 19, two angels come to Sodom at even, at the evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he invited them to come and spend the night in his house. Hospitality, an important ministry for the Christian too. Well, they're a little bit reluctant. Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. But Lot said, no, 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 we want you to come and stay with us. And so they finally did. But it is then that we see the wickedness of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, was the same. The wickedness of the people. Before they lay down, before they went to sleep, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round. They encircled the house, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said to him, where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. They were not interested in a cup of coffee together, I can guarantee you. People there were homosexuals, a grievous sin in the sight of God. Well, it's a little bit of a controversy there. We want them to come out? No. We want them to come? No. And Lot says, well, why don't you take my two daughters instead? Bad situation there, all the way around. We'll come to that passage in more detail in our study in the book of Genesis. So I'm not going to talk too much about these things here. But the end result is that the angels smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, so that they reared themselves to find the door. And it is then that the angels give a very specific message to Lot. And the man said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it." So the angel said, "We are going to destroy this city of Sodom. Go and tell your children about it." So Lot went out and spoke unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters. And he said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But you know, it happened so often. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They paid no attention at all. And so the morning comes. Not sure how peaceful or restful their night was. But when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." This is the first time that Mrs. Lot is mentioned. Alright, verse 15. "Arise, take your wife and your two daughters." And then he continued to procrastinate. He continued to put it off. He continued to linger. And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. So they took him by the hand. Second time that Lot's wife now is mentioned in verse 16. And so they draw them out of the city. And they are told in verse 17, "Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed, lest thou be destroyed." But there is a clear command, isn't it? Look not behind thee. Now, the problem is, as we come to Lot's wife, that she looked back. Verse 24, "Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the city, and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of Sodom." Lot's wife, she looked back. If you remember again in Luke, when we were reading in chapter 9, towards the end of the chapter, the Lord Jesus says, "No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." And here also, Lot and his family were told, "Don't look back." But she did. She disobeyed the message from the Lord. You know, pause here a moment and think about Lot's family. Remember how Lot and Abraham had come from Ur of the Chaldees, they'd gone up to Haran, they'd stayed sometime in Haran. Abraham's father died. They continued their way to what we call Israel today. Lot, his brother's son, was with him. They arrived there. We know that Abraham was a wealthy man, but Lot also was a wealthy man, had many flocks. And Abraham said, "Well, you know, the ground here isn't quite big enough for both of us. Why don't you make a choice? If you want to go there, I'll go there. If you want to go there, then I'll go the other side." And Lot saw that plain with Sodom and Gomorrah. And said, that looks good. And that's where he went. But it really wasn't good. You know, sometimes we're led astray. But it was still true that Lot was very rich. So Lot's wife, in a sense, was a very privileged lady. She was the wife of a righteous man, because the Bible called Lot righteous Lot. Lot had a lot of problems, no question there. But he is still called righteous Lot. He was still a believer in the Lord. So here, the wife, she has a righteous husband. She was connected through her husband to Abraham, the father of the faithful. She had a very comfortable life. So she was in a pretty good position. But contrary to the angel's instruction, she looked back. Thus she brought her tragic fate actually upon herself. It's her own fault. Obedience would have saved her. But disobedience proved her ruin. Disobedience caused her death. I think we can immediately see then that the matter of obedience is an important one. If there's obedience, there's life. Disobedience, there's death. So we need to learn from Lot's wife the danger of disobedience, the folly of delay. No, it's all right, we got time, we got lots of time. We also note the severity of God's judgment. She died. And of course we see as well God's displeasure of sin in this whole incident. You know, you think back, when you come to Genesis chapter 6, you come to the flood, beginning of the flood, and God saw that every imagination of the thoughts of man's heart was only evil continually. And God said, I'm going to destroy the whole world, except Noah, his wife, three sons, and their wives. And God did, through a universal flood. And God said, I will never again destroy the whole earth by means of a flood. And I'll give you a sign that I will do that. And God put a rainbow in the sky. But now, again, you see the wickedness of the people. Just a few chapters later. And God again destroys the people. This time not by flood. This time by fire and brimstone. But Lot's wife could have escaped, but she did not, because she disobeyed the messenger from God. So that's the first thing we really need to note about Lot's wife. She disobeyed the message from the Lord. But we should also note that she did not teach her children properly. Moms and dads, of course, have a great responsibility in teaching children. But she, Lot's wife, did not teach her children properly. And I say that because after the incident, when we come to verse 30, we see that Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. So do we call them cave dwellers? Well, you may not, but they were living in a cave, Lot and his two daughters. And it is then that the two daughters come up with a plan that is both revolting and unnatural in the extreme. And again, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. We'll talk more about that when we come to this chapter in our study of Genesis. But the firstborn said unto the younger, our father is old, And there's not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve seed of our father. What a disgrace. That's why I say, this plan is both revolting and unnatural. Daughters that want children by their father. Sad picture there. But if they had been properly taught by their mother, they would never have come up with this plan. And that's why I say she did not teach her children properly. But there's something else too. This also showed the strong influence of the environment in which they had lived. And that's a key consideration as well. The environment, they were living in Sodom. And there was that influence. Now, they had escaped the destruction, but they had not escaped the pollution of Sodom. So this is well to consider. The environment in which we are can also affect us. We know there is that peer pressure. You know, sometimes children, why did you do that? Well, my brother told me to do it. Kaka told me to do it, you know. I said, well, if he told you to hit your head with a hammer, would you do it? No. Well, then don't do silly things. All right? But the peer pressure is there. And the effect, they were living in that wicked city, although they escaped. Nevertheless, the pollution, the sinfulness, did rub off. And that's well to remember. And that's why, you know, we need to consider that with our children too. Where they go to school? Is it a school? Where do they go to uni? Who are their friends? You know, there's a lot of these kind of questions that come up. But in the case of Lot's wife, if she would have taught her children properly, this would not have happened. Now, we know the end of the story. Both daughters of Ruth ended up conceiving by their father, and they had children. The firstborn bare a son who called his name Moab, the same as the father of the Moabites unto this day. And the younger, she also bare a son and called his name Ben-Ammi, the same as the father of the children of Ammon, or the Ammonites, unto this day. And as you continue to read in the Old Testament, you will know that the Moabites and the Ammonites became some of the bitterest enemies of the Israelites. All because of what the daughters of Lot's wife did. So she did not teach her children properly. And as we see that then, we should know the danger of turning aside from God, from His Word, and we also see the bitter fruits of parental neglect. Now that's Lot's wife. For Mother's Day? Well, we better contrast that with some other wives. And so we want to contrast that with the virtuous wife that is mentioned in Proverbs 31. Because what a contrast that you see here. Lot's wife, she looked back. Now you can imagine, as I mentioned, she was rich. Rich home. She had, no doubt, one of the more beautiful homes there in Sodom. You know, if it would be today, they probably had a Rolls Royce in the driveway. You know, they had all these kind of things. And she just was not willing to let go. She wanted to hang on to all these things. And so as they were traveling, she says, oh, I remember that. Is she going to say anything else? Because she turned into pillar of salt. But now, in Proverbs 31, we see a totally different woman, a virtuous wife. We know she is a wife because she has a husband. And she has children. But this virtuous woman, this virtuous wife, she looked forward. She didn't look backwards like Lot's wife. She looked forward. She had, first of all, a right relationship with the Lord. Now, not a great deal is said about it if you read from verse 10 to verse 31. And yet there is enough in there to make that very clear. Because in verse 30, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. She was a woman who feared the Lord. She was a godly woman. She had a right relationship with the Lord. And she looked forward. She looked towards the future. You see that without, you know, going verse by verse through here. For instance, the verses 21 and 22. She is not afraid of the snow for her household. She's not afraid when the snow comes, when the winter comes. Because her family is well provided for. For all her households are clothed with scarlet. She has prepared the clothes so that her husband and her children, when the snow comes, when winter comes, when it gets cold, that they will be dressed warmly. She's looking forward. Go to the end, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Remember the aunt? But it's summer. She lays up for winter. Well, that was the virtuous wife in Proverbs 31. When it was summer, she prepared for winter. So she made the clothing. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Not only are they warm clothes, but they are beautiful clothes. But we see that she was prepared for winter. She looked ahead. What a difference from Lot's wife. All she could think of was back there, not going forward to the mountain. But this woman, the virtuous wife, she said, what's ahead? Ah, yes, winter is coming. We must be prepared. And she taught her children properly. We see that also. If you look at, just looking at two verses here, verse 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household. She looks at her household. All right, a lot of things to do for the wife. You know, the husband is to be looked after, children to be looked after. She's going to make sure that the house is clean. She has to, well, we can see she was quite a businesswoman. You know, she considered a field and buying it, and with the fruit of her hands, she planted a vineyard. You know, she perceived that her merchandise is good, her candle goeth not out by night. The only time the candle would go out is when she went to sleep. So if her candle doesn't go out, she is working late. All right? So we see all the industry there. But she wants to be sure that her children are well looked after. So she looketh well to the ways of her household. And it's no wonder then that in verse 28, her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. But her children call her blessed. Do our children call us blessed? Think about that, for those of us who have children. But what a contrast between these two ladies, Lot's wife and the virtuous wife of Proverbs 31. But what about the wives of today? The wives that we even have here in our midst. And I'd like to ask you basically, well, ask you a lot of questions, but two basic questions. Because if you think of the virtuous wife, she had a good relationship with the Lord. But what about the wives, the women, and for that matter, the husbands and the sons as well? What is your relationship to the Lord? In the case of Lot's wife, it wasn't a very good relationship, we know that. In the case of the virtuous wife, it was a good relationship. But what about your relationship to the Lord? Are you saved? Let me ask you some more questions. Do you pray for your children? Do you pray with your children? Are you a good example to them in godliness? Do you, for instance, have your personal devotions? Do you attend the Sunday Bible class? Just some of these questions to consider about the wives of today. What is your relationship to the Lord? Lot's wife? No relationship. The virtuous wife? An excellent relationship. But what about us today? What is our relationship with the Lord? And then when it comes to the children, well, Lot's wife, she didn't do a very good job with her children. The virtuous woman did a good job with her children. What about us here today? Do you teach your children properly? Do you bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? In other words, do you do your best to lead them to Christ? Do you encourage them to read the Bible? Do you encourage them to pray, to go to JF, Sunday school, to holiday Bible club? You know, do you encourage your children in this way? Do you teach your children the principles of our faith? Do you? And I'm not talking about moms only, but dads as well. Do you have family devotions? A time where husband and wife and children meet together for family devotions. Remember, there's an old saying, and you all know it. The family that prays together stays together. Now there's a slight variation of that. The family that plays together stays together. Now during the Bible conference we have some good activities. And you know, sometimes we hear from the children, my mom and dad are so busy, you know, they don't really have time to play with them. I see that with our grandson. When we go there, we don't have anything else to do except spend time with him. So he likes us. Oh, he loves grandma and opa. Calls me opa, the Dutch for grandfather. But he likes it when we go there because we spend a lot of time with him. We play with him. Alright? So it's not only a question of praying, but also a question of playing. So how much do you play? You know, today we had a phone call. My grandson. You know, Happy Mother's Day, Grandma. So he called up. I think his mom probably put him up to that. I don't think he was at an age where he would have taken himself the initiative. Hey, Mom, today is Mother's Day. Can I call Grandma? You know, I don't think he did that. But still, he got on the phone, and when my wife picked up the phone, it was his voice that she heard first of all. You know, but the family that prays together, the family that plays together, these families stay together. And you know very well that many families today do not stay together. Because the incidences of divorce are getting increasingly larger. I think in the United States it's about one out of every two marriages now that ends in divorce. So the percentage is very large. You might say, well, Chinese family is a lesser percentage. But that's changing too, I've noticed. Because the statistics that I've seen coming out of Singapore, you know, indicate that there too, there are more divorces happening. So it's happening everywhere. And therefore, we as a family need to pray together. We need to play together so that together the family will stay. Well, do you teach them the principles of the faith? You know that question, do you teach your children properly? Do you teach them to be godly boys, to be godly girls, who then become godly men and women who know the Word of God? You know, Psalms. Psalm 119, that longest of the Psalms. But you know, if you look at that in the beginning, verses 9 through 11, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And the word man again, remember, is generic. Not only the young man, it's also the young woman. By taking heed according to thy word. So, how shall a person cleanse his way? I said, paying attention to the Word of God. With my whole heart have I sought. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Parents, do you help your children to memorize the word of God? Hiding God's word in your heart. And then the same psalm goes down to verse 18. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. What a wonderful prayer that is. Before we read the Bible, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. But wives today, and husbands, what is your relationship to the Lord? And do you teach your children properly? Think again. You have lost wife. That's the example we do not want to follow. Then we have the virtuous wife from Proverbs 31. That's the example that we should follow. So ask yourself, where am I? The one side, the other side, or somewhere in between? What is your relationship to the Lord? And do you teach your children properly? As I prepared for this message, and this goes back actually several months now, because I knew Mother's Day is always coming, so always looking for things, and I read a very sad story about a young girl. When I say young girl, she was probably about 16, maybe 17. So she was not young in the sense of 4 or 5. But she had just gotten her driver's license. And this particular occasion, she had just quickly gone down to the grocery store for her mom. That was very close by. I said, no, she wasn't going to walk because, you know I have to drive, so I don't want to walk. And so, but it was so close by, so she didn't bother to fasten her seatbelt. She hadn't been driving very long yet. She was still a young girl. And just passed her driving test. She didn't have a great deal of experience behind the wheel. It was a wet day, and it was autumn, and a number of leaves had fallen down off the trees and were on the road. And the wet leaves, and I don't know if you've ever experienced it, I have, and it wasn't very pleasant, but wet leaves can make a road very, very slippery. And this girl did not have the experience. She skidded on the wet leaves. The car hit a tree. She was thrown into the steering wheel with her chest. Her head went through the windscreen, the car door flew open, and she flew out of the car. It was actually so close to the house that her mom had seen the whole incident. She ran down the street frantically, fell down beside the wreck, and pulled her daughter's bleeding face up into her hand. As she looked down into her daughter's face, the girl looked up at her mother and said, Mom, I'm going to die. I'm going to die. Her mother said, no, you're not, honey. You're not going to die. Everything is going to be all right. Just stay calm. Then a neighbor ran out, and the mother yelled, call an ambulance. The neighbor ran back into the house to call the ambulance. And again, the daughter said, Mom, I'm going to die. And again, the mother said, no, honey, you're not. The little girl looked up at her mother and said, Mom, you taught me how to dress. You taught me how to put on my makeup. But Mom, you never taught me how to die. And she died. Think about that. Mom, you never taught me how to die. Don't be like Lot's wife. Think of the virtuous wife. Look ahead and prepare your children for the life to come. Let us pray. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, help us to learn from thy words as we see bad examples as well as good examples. Lord, as we have looked at Lot's wife, we realize that she is a bad example. As our Lord Jesus Christ reminded us, remember Lot's wife. Oh Lord, let us remember her, knowing that she did not have a right relationship with thee. She disobeyed the message that she had received from the Lord. She did not teach her children properly. But Lord, help us to be like the virtuous wife who had a right relationship with thee, who taught her children properly, who did not look back, but who looked forward. Oh Lord, help us as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ to look ahead, to look to the future, and Lord, help us to prepare our children